Fakakta Comedy Funhouse Network.
Hey everybody, all you drunkomaniacs out there, it's Dustin the Voice, and it's another episode of Drunken Lullabies on location. I'm evidently not enjoying being at my house right now because every episode is not there and it's on the road. So today brings me to a new location. We are at the Distill Restaurant and Brewery in Champaign, Illinois. We have now hit the other location of our sponsors. The Ground Zero, and they've got some beers we haven't had yet, and we're going to be lucky enough to try them now. Now, Blake Biermansky is not with me today. He actually had other priorities, which I think was going to Side Project Brewery in St. Louis for a beer release, because we all know he does that beer trading, and he gets those hard-to-find beers, and then he trades them so we have stuff to drink on the show. So technically, he's doing productive work, but he doesn't get to be here drinking with me.
So he's on location as well.
He's on location, yeah. But he will not be recording. So, and joining me this week, filling in across from me, we have Whitney, who works here at Distill. And joining me is half of the band. A couple of them are a bit under the weather at the moment, so we're not going to make them drink beer. They do have a show tonight, so I don't want to be held responsible for somebody being puked on in the crowd or whatever could happen at those punk, house shows. So joining me, we have half of The Kickback out of Chicago, Illinois, and I'm going to have you guys introduce yourselves and what you guys play in the band. I figure it's good to introduce yourself because then the listeners know whose voice belongs to who. I hate when I listen to shows and there's six people on and they're all talking. I'm like, I don't know who the fuck is who. It's like, you're just, okay, you're dude that, okay, whatever. So go ahead and introduce.
Personality. My name's Johnny. I play guitar in the band, some backup vocals, some keys. And
my name is Eamon and I play the bass guitar. And it just so happens we are the half of the band that cares about beer.
So this works out perfect.
Yeah,
glad you guys aren't the ones sick. So, as always, well, not always, but as for the past couple months, this episode is brought to you by Distill Brewery. And it's appropriate because we are here.
Yeah.
So this is going to be an all Distill show, much like the last huge spotlight bonus episode that we did with the Alexes and Jeremy. This one's a regular episode, though. We're making it one of our weeklies. So it's all Distill all day. And the drinking game is going on as always. So anytime somebody swears, anytime there's a pop culture quote or reference, or anytime somebody has an audible expulsion of gas or says the word of the day, you take a drink. And the word of the day is Distill. So we don't have to it's for the listeners at home.
Oh, okay.
We don't do this. Otherwise, you guys are going to be sick in the van too. So. I guess we're gonna start. We've each got a flight here of great beers to try, and we're starting with the intermission session IPA. So Whitney, I didn't know exactly what we're drinking, and you're the expert here, so I didn't have to do any homework for this show. So I thank you, because usually I do a lot of research and doing beer descriptions and copying and pasting off of websites and opening five tabs, in my Google Chrome. So this was easy for me. I'm like, I just show up and I drink. So what can you tell us about this beer?
Well, it is a session IPA, so it's that lower ABV, so it's that perfect, I can drink these all day, and I literally can drink these all day.
Yeah, we're starting light.
I can drink them
right.
all day. The nose on this beer is one of my favorites, which unfortunately for you listeners, you can't smell, but it's just so hoppy. It's delicious. It just it has a nice like staying power. I just really like it.
What hops are used in this one? Do you know?
I believe the Simcoe, Centennial. We love our Mosaic and Topaz hops, so I'm sure that has a little bit of those in there.
Sure.
I'm not really sure, actually. We did a lot of dry hop. We did like 11 pounds in this one. So.
Okay.
So we did a lot. We did a lot of dry hop with this one, but I think it turned out really, really awesome. And I'm really picky when it comes to session IPAs because I really like the kick of the gravity of other IPAs.
I'm kind of the same way. Like the session thing, I know it's kind of trendy and in vogue right now, and I get the appeal of it, but yeah, I'm kind of like you. My comfort zone's like the 7 to 8 percenters, you know.
That's home.
Especially because I've built up such a tolerance from drinking that if I drink these, I mean, this is essentially, it'd be like me drinking Gatorade, you know, which is fine.
Oh, yeah.
Like I enjoy the taste more, but like I'm not gonna get anything off of this, so. I don't know if that's a bad thing to say, but it's the truth, and I want to be honest with my listeners.
It's cool, though, because you're seeing a lot more even West Coast-style like double IPAs mm-hmm. coming up that are like 8%. Or mm-hmm. Bell's has a beer called Hop Slam.
It's Hop Slam season.
Super drinkable.
Was about a month ago. That's when it started showing up. And I like Hop Slam. It's fucking expensive. But honestly, if you're looking for a really, really good, strong double IPA, I almost suggest getting Dark Horse Double Crooked Tree.
Mm-hmm.
That one's just as good. It's expensive, too, but it doesn't have as much of the hype behind it.
It's easier to acquire.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is a good thing.
Yeah,
so.
But this is delicious. I mean, this
This is.
It's so light and so easy drinking. I really like it a lot. It's a nice one to start with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't.
Thank you for starting it this way.
Yeah.
Well, you're welcome. Yeah.
This is also one of my favorite beers because I had such a small grain bill. It wasn't a lot of grain to haul around, which is nice for me.
Nice, yeah.
So, yeah, you had a hand in making this one and all of them that we're drinking today?
Ish. Our main brewer, our lead brewer at the production brewery, Alex, is the one that brews all the beers, but...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, our good friend A-Squared.
Yeah, A-Squared. Yes. he does all the brewing here, and then I do the transferring. I carb up the beers. I do
cool.
the fermions. Yeah.
Awesome. But do you guys do any... You know, I'm assuming you do a little bit of filtering, or do you just use, like, a fining agent? Or
clarifying agent.
Cool.
It's completely unfiltered.
See, you're hearing inside talk, and the reason why is because Johnny also works for a brewery.
It's very small, very small.
Very small. You may have heard of them. They're called Lagunitas?
Yeah, what it means
is Spanish?
Lagunitas.
Lagunitas? Okay. All right.
Yeah,
I've
heard of them before.
I took that from a tour guide.
I mean, I think they've got a location, like in Chicago, in California, I think.
Yeah. Started in Petaluma.
Rings a bell.
I think
I've heard of them.
I think so.
Yeah. So how long have you been working there?
Since we opened the Chicago facility.
Oh, okay.
And like maybe 2.5 years now almost.
Nice.
And what do you do out there?
So I work in the tap room. So I'm actually the face that you see before, you know, putting your
consuming,
mouth.
Consuming.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you're the face of the Ganitas?
I'm the face of the Ganitas. Yes, I am.
Yeah, and that's Spanish for whale's vagina. That's a drink.
San Diego,
yeah.
No, it's a great gig, and I get to see all the different facets from the brewers, and it's such a big facility. I mean, we have two 250 barrel brew houses, which is just ginormous.
That is
so
huge.
it's basically a plant and a factory almost. Mm-hmm. But it's really cool because I get to wait on all the engineering guys. I get to wait on the maintenance guys and the bottling line, and they all have their own little group. It's almost like in high school when everybody, you know,
the
like,
cliques.
Yeah.
It's all cliques.
You got the burnouts and the
exactly
nerds.
Exactly the way the brewery works.
Okay.
I mean, everybody's friendly and it's like a tribe.
So you got like the hophead group, and then you know you've got the head dark and heavy.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, the blondes.
Right, the blondes.
It's funny, man.
You got your weird Belgians hanging out in the corner doing God knows what.
The German
whatever
guys
Belgians
work, yeah.
do.
The German guys that work on our tanks, the only thing they drink is the pills because it's the only thing that they know
Oh yeah.
and that they love.
That's unfortunate.
They don't want to try IPAs. But they get rowdy because they stay nearby, so they have just have to walk after work to get home. So it's really fun to see those guys there.
Now, am I correct? You do not live in Chicago.
That is correct.
You are the only one that's kind of out of the area.
Yes. I lived in Chicago for about 6 years, and then I moved back to my hometown in Washington, D.C.
Okay.
So
yeah, you get to drink... Stuff that we can't get over here. And do you have any favorites over in the D.C. area that you enjoy on a regular basis?
Yingling is always kind of a staple because, especially like I went to college like not far away in Baltimore, so it was always like some of like the cheaper beer that you could get. And it's just like, and a bunch of my roommates were from Pennsylvania, so like, there's just like a lot of good memories associated with that beer. Like the summers, like spend in the woods of Pennsylvania, just like hanging out and drinking like all day and stuff like that. But like honestly, like also like going back to my college days, like this will make no sense because like I love good beer, but I mean I also have a very special place in my heart for Natty Bo.
Wow! All right.
Also, yeah, just like same thing, just like. Just have good memories associated with that beer. And then as soon as I went back, I remember getting a six-pack and bringing it to my girlfriend. And she's from Michigan, so, like, she had never had it before. And I was like, oh, no, you have to try this. Like, I used to drink this all the time in college. And she was like, this is terrible.
Yeah.
Like, why are you showing this to me?
Why would you do this to me?
But, yeah, I mean...
Some palate's advanced. Yours, like, still has that old flame. It's carrying the torch for it, It's all right. There's nothing wrong with that. It's like that comfortable pair of underwear that, you know, they should have been thrown away a long time ago, but you keep them against your better judgment just because they're home. And that's your relationship with that beer, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely have other tastes, but I knew that, like, as soon as I got back to the area, that was just, like, one of the first things I had to get out of the way. I was just like, I'm just going to try it again. And yeah, it doesn't taste nearly as good as I remember it, but it's nice to have in my life again.
All right. Well, and another thing, I was going to talk to Billy about it, but unfortunately he is not with us. You guys have... Well, he's with us. Like, he hasn't passed. He's currently sleeping, so...
Yeah.
You guys have a podcast as well.
That's correct.
Disaster.
Yes.
And so, yeah, it... When I was talking to you on Facebook, and I was just contacting you to play some of your music on an episode.
Sure.
And then I just happened to see, these guys are on the road later this month. They're playing Champaign. That's an hour and a half away. I can make that drive. And you and I talked, and we got this worked out. It's like, okay, so they're an indie rock band. Check. They have a connection to craft beer. Check. And now they actually have their own pot. You guys are like the perfect guests for the show because the Venn diagram overlaps perfectly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We are one. There's no gray area. Like there's just a little bit. It's like podcast, beer, and band. So yeah, we're good to go. So you guys have been doing that for a long time, like years. It's 110 or so episodes, or is it more than that?
Yeah, I think it's in the 130s or at least close around there. But yeah, we've been doing it for a long time, and Billy started it just because he loved podcasts so much. And when I joined the band, he was like, hey, just be aware, we do this podcast. Like, you can do it, you cannot do it, but it's a thing, you know, in this band. And we basically just chronicle all the crazy stuff that we go through on a daily or weekly or monthly basis, and just try and remember the good times. Try and expunge the bad.
It's not a weekly. Like I've noticed, sometimes it is. Sometimes it's every 3 days, you know. And then other times there'll be a month if you guys are on the road and busy stuff. So
it's very interesting. We used to be pretty good about doing it on the road, but I mean, you're basically just trying to survive.
Yeah, it's tough.
There's no, like, entertaining or witty part of you that comes out. It's just like, here we are again.
Yep.
But there are points on the road when we'll definitely, like, record sort of parts of the road where we're like driving middle of the night after a show, deciding it'd be a good idea to drive 6 hours to the next town. So, you know, Billy has his little recorder. Yeah. And he'll take it out. And be like, all right, guys, this is hour one, you know, and then 4 hours later, it's just a mess. It's
like, yeah, we've gotten some weird stuff from this like late night drive
podcast. Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure.
Like, really weird stuff.
So yeah, look it up, subscribe, you know, I'm sure it's on most podcast apps.
Oh, for sure.
So that way you don't have to check every week to see if there's new one. You just hit that subscribe button and then it'll just pop up in your feed when it's there. So,
and I know they're definitely retooling it is what I hear. So we've been told that we need to make it more of a thing, and we have a lot of cool little segments on there.
Cool.
What some of the segments, like, how did the show go?
Yeah, so, you know, you just recap sort of what happened at previous night's show, or then there's, like, most inappropriate purchase of the day. We're all broke musicians, so it's like we can't afford stuff, but we still buy stuff that we have no business
right. Yeah. Well, who's pissed and who's to blame?
If you want to just, like, air some stuff out, just let it go.
What would Michael Keaton do?
Yeah,
that's kind of all Billy.
It's
a fun listen. I made sure to, you know, listen to a couple of the more recent ones before, you know, I came in to, you know, so that way I got a reference point.
Sorry.
No. No, it was funny. I liked him talking about that jacket he bought. I think that was like around Christmas time or something. It went to a thrift store.
And not the blue jacket.
Yeah. That was pretty
Don't
funny.
Encourage him.
All right.
Don't encourage him.
Well, I think we should try our second beer here. This is a collaboration that you guys did with Triptych, which is another local craft brewery. Nice. And this is a hoppy porter.
Yes.
All right, take it away.
So we dry hopped this with Topaz hops. Like I said, we love our Topaz.
Nice.
And you can still get that on the nose. Triptych actually just had their big 3-year anniversary party last Friday at the Accord.
Oh,
and they
cool.
did collaborations with all the local breweries, which was really, really cool. So you got to try a little bit of everything. There was a hoppy red. There was a kettle sour.
Nice.
Our hoppy porter. Yeah, it turned out really, really nice. It's so crisp. I think it's so good. It's one of the best porters I've had
this
in a while.
This is delicious.
I know.
It's
I saw
nice,
like...
good mouth feel on this one.
Sound a little partial, but it's true. I really, really like it a lot.
See, I know some people don't... They almost don't care for porters because they feel it's a weak-ass stout, basically.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, just make a stout or whatever. Like, I'm not a coffee drinker, and I've never been a fan. Like, for a long, it took me a while to get into stouts just because they're so heavy in coffee and chocolate, typically.
Yeah,
and I don't eat chocolate, so it was like, they're not for me, but I will still drink them. But yeah, sometimes, you know, the hops are added in, and being a hop head, this, you know, makes them a little more enjoyable for me.
Yeah, it's smooth for sure. It's got a nice little sweetness to it too, which is really good. But it's not like overpowering, like you can drink.
It leaves a good finish, you know, and
finish.
You know, we're definitely gonna,
It
lingers for a little bit. Yeah.
But yeah, I just love how crisp it is. It doesn't like hang around a lot. Like some porters and some stouts, I feel like just kind of like linger forever. And I like that like crisp, like dry finish.
Yeah, this is really
nice.
This is like something that you could see like drinking multiple beers of rather than just like having a porter and then like switching on to like something different.
Oh yeah, I've been drinking a bunch of this.
Yeah. Do you know what the ABV on this is offhand?
Somewhere in the 5 range.
Okay. I knew it'd be more than a session, obviously.
Do you know if there's any brown malt in this beer? Or is it all just like, is there a little bit of a, there's a lot of crystal?
I think,
Because, you know, porters usually they do it. Like,
Because
that's the one thing that's so hard to distinguish the two, is because it's like roasted barley.
Right.
I think there is some roasted barley in this, actually.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. We usually do some two-row roasted barley, and I'm not sure about
cool.
the rest, but yeah.
And was this your first collaboration with Triptych?
Yes, this
okay.
is first Triptych.
Yeah, there's a lot of really neat breweries in town here now. It's cool.
That's one great thing about the Midwest, you know, and like Chicago, you're fucking spoiled up there. But, like, there's so many good ones that I haven't even heard of, you know, there's, and some of them... They don't even have a tap room. Like, Whitney and I were talking off air about Pipeworks. You know,
oh,
like
yeah.
their beers finally started making it here downstate.
Oh, really? Oh,
we
wow.
can
cool.
We can get the the Hallmark ones, your Ninja versus Unicorn,
oh, yeah.
and the Blood of the Unicorn,
Lizard King.
Yep. Yeah, and you know, and then some of the bombers will show up as well.
Cool.
But you get a lot better of a selection up there.
Yeah, no, and it helps to be living right across this, like the street from there.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, but yeah, it's, there's. I mean, even in the burbs, you know, like Solemn Oath.
Yep.
You know, they do a lot of great stuff. Mm-hmm. And I heard, I don't. Maybe you can tell me if this is true or not. I'm a huge Parks and Rec fan,
okay.
and Nick Offerman, who Illinois guy, like yeah. I believe he went to U of I here in Champaign. Go Illini. Long live the chief. And I believe his brother is one of the like brewmasters at Solemn Oath.
Wait, what?
Yeah, this is what somebody told me. They're like, dude, Ron Swanson's brother is one of the brewers out here at Solemn Oath.
No way.
So,
that's awesome.
Yeah, I may have to do a little investigating on that.
Yeah.
Just look for a guy with a nice mustache and a swoop haircut, and
that's really
great
cool.
at woodworking,
right? So
the crossover is crazy, man. You know, actors,
right.
comedians, everybody likes beer.
Now you guys you're playing a house show tonight.
Correct.
You were in Columbus, Ohio last night.
Correct.
I know you're taking what, like a week off? Like you're flying back home?
Yeah, just a few days,
like 4 days maybe.
Yeah, just
yeah, and then you're gearing up. You're going down South by Southwest.
Taking right the plunge,
going to Southeast, and then kind of working our way towards, you know, the
Texas,
the big target yeah. of the the whole thing.
Now, have you guys played that before?
Yeah, we played. How many years now?
Is that like 4 years?
4 years
okay.
now. Yeah,
a friend of the show, and his band Flannel Mouth, referring to my buddy Tyler. They're playing for the second time. Like last year was their first time, and,
yeah,
and
nice.
They got a new album coming out at the beginning. Well. It's already out by the time this airs, so go buy it. And yeah, so they're playing down there as well. So
that's cool.
Yeah, it'd be really cool to go to. There'd be so much. You wouldn't be able to. Yeah, it's too much to consume and see every yeah. great band that's yeah, down yeah. there. I'm sure I would have a blast though. It's like a bucket list thing for me.
It's wild because there's that whole like that Sixth Street. You know, where it's almost like, it's not Bourbon Street. I like it more than Bourbon Street.
Or Beale Street.
Yeah, exactly. It just, you're just, your ears, it's like sensory overload.
Yeah.
Because you can just walk down and you're passing all these bars.
Yeah,
that are just,
what grabs you.
Yeah, yeah, and then you just kind of go to whatever seems to fit, and it's pretty neat.
Very cool. Well, I think what we'll do is we'll play one of your songs. That seems appropriate. the first one we're going to play is called Sting's Teacher Years. And
correct.
When I saw the title, like, I was wondering, is that a reference to the Don't Stand So Close to Me song by the Police? Because isn't that about him being a teacher, like having an inappropriate relationship? So, or is it the wrestler Sting? And I totally missed the reference whatsoever.
Well, no, it's just sort of like being a... Because Billy and Ryan are substitute teachers, so it's just sort of about this weird situation where, you know, you're still trying to like follow your dreams and play music, but then you also have to like do a job,
pay the bills,
yeah. and like, you know, your profession is teaching kids on, you know, just trying to get them through the school day. It's not even really teaching kids; it's just trying to like. Make sure they complete their assignments and make sure that they do their homework. And
yeah.
So it's just sort of more about that rather than anything.
Do you think their
specific.
Students know that, like, they're in a band and they have a pot? Like, that would
know,
be mind-blowing depending upon what age the kids
we've
are.
We've seen some YouTube, like, comments. I think
yeah.
they caught on.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Mr. Yost!
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely yeah. caught on quick. And that song seems it definitely comes up a lot. And I know that he, like, we're all big Police fans.
So, mm-hmm.
like, you know, there's definitely a reference there for,
yeah.
for Gordon.
And you guys have, well, you have a regular video and you also have a lyric video.
Correct.
And the lyric video, how long did that take to make?
We actually, we did it, like, just like a marathon session, like, all in one night.
Oh, I guess I should describe what it is. I will post it on our Facebook page and everybody can check it out. But it's essentially like a stop motion video where all the lyrics to the song are written all over Billy. And as they're being sung, they disappear off his body.
Well,
so it was shot backwards, basically,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, like, at the start of the video, he's completely covered, and then by the end, he's just standing there shirtless.
Yeah,
so, yeah, yeah. So, it just, you know, I did editing in college in my radio TV classes, and I was like, man, that had to take a long time. Like, and just, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of my good friends in Chicago, Eric Brayman, he actually came up with the concept. He and I used to work together, and you know, he had been a fan of the band and he wanted to work with us, and you know, we obviously needed some kind of music video at the time, and so we were just kind of like shooting ideas back and forth like throughout the day, and we came up with this crazy idea and we liked it, you know, because we thought it could be cool, but
it's yeah, a little bit it's a little bit Gautier and a little bit like Bob Dylan with the cards, you know.
Billy was willing to offer up his, you know,
it's not see
hasty
it was,
white bodies
like, you know, at work, you know, when you're like sitting down concepting, you're like, oh man, this would be awesome, like this is gonna be a great idea, and then we're actually doing it, when you're actually editing,
yeah,
you're like, oh,
what
my
were we
God.
Thinking this
and,
was so much better in theory,
and I was the one who had to write the words on Billy.
Ooh,
so, yeah, he's an illustrator. So.
What were there drinks involved in that process?
No drinks involved. It was just like, hey, I know we've been in a band together for a long time, but this is by far the weirdest thing. Probably the closest we've ever had to be to each other.
Right. No, that makes sense. So,
but you got to suffer for your art.
Yeah.
You do.
You have to stare at Billy's pale, sweaty body.
All right. Well, with that kind of introduction, we're going to get to the song. So... Here is The Kickback and Sting's Teacher Years on Drunken Lullabies, live from Distill Champagne.
I got a way to hold my gun.
Kickback. Sting's Teacher Years. It's a solid, solid song. I must, and that's the is that the lead off track on the album?
That is the lead off track.
That's a way to lead it off. You gotta grab the listeners by the balls or the ovaries and, you know, like, get them to pay attention. That's a good one to do it.
Yes,
so
we are not just trying to market ourselves just to men. We love it if women liked it too.
Yes. And I should mention that the album's called Sorry All Over the Place.
Correct.
Came out last year and should be available for, if you can't find it at a store, ask your store to order it if you have a good indie record store. If not, order directly from these guys. I'm sure they would love to take your money and, you know, send it your way.
Yeah.
If you're kind of cheap and you want to check it out, it's on Spotify, so you can listen to it that way. But regardless, check out the music. We don't have bands on here that suck. So, all right. So our next beer. This is the Ambassador Double Belgian Pale Ale on Nitro?
Yes.
Okay.
Wow.
So this has been one of my favorite beers. Like, the regular Ambassador is just one of my favorites. It's Columbus hops, and it's just Columbus hops strictly. But it's just so nice and balanced. Like, if it's not on Nitro, it's just got that Belgian yeast that kind of cuts through that hoppiness.
Yeah, I'm glad you got the Nitro for me. We talked about how Belgians are not really my jam.
Really? You're not a Belgian guy?
My girlfriend loves them. They're her favorite, aside from IPAs. But sometimes I told her they're too spicy and yeasty for me. That they're over in, like, the, when I pour them, it takes 25 minutes for it to fucking settle before I can drink it. I'll drink another beer in the time. Like, well, this is going to be a while, so I'm just going to get something else. And, you know, I'll get back to it. But, yeah, I don't know. Like, I've had some really good ones, and I've had some that they almost give me heartburn. There's just
really the
coriander, and it's just too much, I guess. I don't know.
Well, I mean, have you ever had a Saison DuPont by chance at all?
No, I don't think I have.
Have you ever tried that one before?
No, I don't think so.
You, Eamon?
I believe it's Saison DuPont.
Saison DuPont.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a small Belgian brewery, and surprisingly enough, because I guess
I've heard of it, but I haven't had it.
Oh, I have. Yeah. I definitely have now that you say
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
okay.
It's basically,
I know exactly what you're talking
they,
about.
They make this beer, but yet nobody in Belgium really drinks it. It's more of an export. Because, but what's wild about it is it's a very classic, very old sort of, like, this representation of what, you know, just Belgian beer should be. And
mm-hmm.
if they do the large format 750 milliliter bottles.
Okay.
And every bottle is different in a slightly different way because of the bottle conditioning.
Gotcha.
But you should try it because I think that'll change your mind. I'm with you on the fact that I've heard people say I love Belgian beer for years, and I just couldn't really figure it out. And then I finally had Saison DuPont, and then I was like, okay, this is Belgian beer. It's like, it's an expression. Like, if you're an artist, I think that Belgian beer is like, it's like open canvas, because there's no like restrictions on like the style, because it's just like whatever kind of yeast you want to use, whatever kind of, you know, grain bill. It's pretty wild.
Yeah.
Then
check it out.
The Nitro smooths this out.
But this is fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm so happy you love it. So this beer was kind of one of my creative ideas. So I wanted to do something with Nitro. I tried my first pale ale on Nitro, and I was just obsessed. I was like, okay, we have to do this. We have to do some beer on Nitro. So I was just like, okay, I wonder if we can try the Ambassador with it. And Belgians traditionally are never really served on Nitro. So
no.
I had to get the big okay to be like, okay. Can
yeah,
you
it's usually reserved for, you know, your stouts.
Yes.
You know?
So this was a complete, like, I hope this turns out well, and it turned out just how I wanted it, and it has just been so nice.
Yes,
this is fantastic.
It really appeals to
this
a lot of people, because it's just so, like, creamy and light, and people that don't typically like Belgians like it, people that don't typically like pale ales at all.
It's not the spicy.
Yeah. Plus, Nitro is most people's favorite American Gladiator, so I mean.
True. And this is a 7.8%, so that Nitro made this kind of dangerous.
So I put these in a good lineup then. We're just like gradually, we're going up the incline of the roller coaster on the ABV. So yeah, this is, I told you earlier I might get a growler to take home and put on the shelf at the studio This may be the one I take home for Freckles to try.
Growlers won't hold up very well with nitro, just the gas property.
What if I drink it tonight, though?
If you drink it tonight, you can probably do that.
Okay.
But, you know, you have to drink it all at once, so it'd be quite the endeavor.
Right.
You look like the man for the job, though. So.
I'll be sharing it. I'm not going to drink it all myself. I will drink half a growler. She drinks faster than I do, which, you know, I think that's because I talk too much. I'm the voice,
fast.
You know. She's just pounding them, and I'm like, damn. Like, I need to catch
I'm usually,
up.
I'm like, my ratio is like 2-for-1. I'm usually like 2 beers for every one.
For the one that I drink. Yeah. So Eamon is the reason why I became an alcoholic. I have a very low tolerance, but
yeah.
I would just see him finish a beer, and I'd be halfway full, and I'd be like, what?
Well, it's because he's drinking that Natty Light.
Yeah.
You want to get that down as quick as possible.
No, not Natty. Don't steer me to that level. Don't put me on that level.
It's interesting. I actually, Eamon stays with us. Me and my girlfriend, we live in Logan Square, this little neighborhood, Chicago. And he'll come over and always sometimes have homebrew on tap.
Nice.
Because we have a little kegerator. And we kick our beer and force carb. And so he's always a good judge of, usually a really good judge of the beer. He's usually pretty honest about it. So
no, I mean,
I value his opinion.
It's been really amazing to like, because I tried his very first homebrew. And I had like.
Terrible.
No, honestly, it wasn't terrible. I've had some homebrews, like, I had a couple homebrews before trying yours that were honestly terrible. Just like chunks of yeast, like flown down, like sediment, like. Just not clear at all. The flavor was just really bad, and you just have to like take a sip and be like, "Yep, it's really good."
Yep. we were talking about that earlier. Like, we've had 3 homebrewers on the show, but they've all been doing it for years and years. So like, I've gotten spoiled because most of the homebrew I've drank is like super polished and like competition worthy.
Yeah,
and
that's awesome.
Yeah. So yeah.
No, but honestly, like, to his credit, like, he. I mean, if there's anything you can say about Jonathan Ifrican, it's the fact that he, if he's going to do something, he's going to do something to the fullest extent of his capabilities. So it's like, I remember trying his first beer and be like, and like, the clarity was good. It was kind of lacking in body, but it tasted good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would definitely drink it.
It was crap.
No. But the next time I came back to Chicago, there were... I mean, he had a whole.
It was
setup.
Leaps and bounds above what
it's like a meth lab, basically.
it's like
Breaking Bad.
I mean, he's like, got he's got like the boilers now. Like, there's like a closet I can't open when I stay at his place because
it's just bubbling.
Fermenting.
Did you bring any of your homebrew with you?
No, dude.
Damn it!
I have a Belgian Golden Strong Ale that's fermenting right now.
I guess it probably wouldn't have held up on the road as well. Like, if you guys had been in Chicago last night, maybe it would have been a little more doable. But
no, I would. I think that's the thing we're gonna do from now on is start doing that and bringing it to breweries and share because. It's awesome.
More beers, better than
beer. Yeah, and there's some places that are cool. There's one in my home base area in Peoria, the Fox Pub. We've mentioned them on the show before. And they're really cool with... People will bring in bombers. And
Like,
they don't have a problem with you bringing other beer in and sharing because, like, the entire staff, they're all huge craft beer nerds.
Awesome.
And, we're all in this... community group called the Peoria Area Beer Nerds that we reference a lot of times, and most of our guests that are our friends, we're all in this group together.
Oh, wow.
So like,
that's really cool.
Half the group has been on the show, and but yeah, like, people will just like, who's going to the Fox tonight, you know? And people just bring bombers, and if you're hanging out there, they'll crack those open as well as what's on tap.
Oh, wow.
So yeah,
that's
it's cool that, because back in the day, you either drink what. Because I've been to shit bars where it's like, I wish I could bring, I've gone to see bands play and stuff, and it's like, well, I'm drinking PBR tonight.
PBR is faithful.
There's definitely nothing more disappointing, because like, usually when we're on the road, we get a couple drink tickets from the venue.
Yeah.
Because like, Johnny and I will always go to the bar, it's like, do you have anything local, like local brewery or local, even just like a city like brew that we should try, and it's always like, well, your ticket's good for PBR or hams, and you're just like,
Schlitz.
Can I use 2-for-1?
Yes,
so we end up spending money Right. I want to try the local beers.
Yeah, you know? That's unfortunate.
That is unfortunate.
It is. It is.
It's the plight of the craft beer connoisseur. It's a rough life. Well, I think we'll take a break here while we finish our ambassador and we get ready for the next one. And cool. We're going to hear a word from one of the other shows on our network. Here is Sex with Heather on the Fakakta Comedy Funhouse Network.
It can be exciting to start new relationships. The ins and outs of getting to know each other, the inside jokes you create, and the frank and honest conversations about anything and everything. I, Heather, am beginning a new relationship with Heather, a Kaluna shrub that grows in Europe and Asia Minor. She's a wildflower with a roaming spirit and a tough exterior. I thought, what better way to get to know my new shrubbery than to discuss the ins and outs of sex? We'll be taking a look at each other and laughing about how funny scrotums look, peppering it with facts and friendship. Sex with Heather will be coming on Wednesdays, only at fcfnetwork.com.
And we're back, and we got more beer. They just keep on coming. I'm not complaining.
I'm keeping up.
Yep. And it's good that we are doing a flight. We're not drinking pints of all of these.
Correct.
Or snifters or, you know, what other proper glass. I drink out of pint glasses with cartoon characters or, like, wrestlers a lot of the time. So,
nice.
That's kind of our staple. And that's one of the segments on our show is, like, what are you drinking out of? Well, we're drinking out of plain distill flight glasses, so there's not gonna be any crazy glassware today. But our next one, what are we drinking, Whitney?
Roggenbier.
That's Roggenbier. The German spelling.
Yeah.
So this is a beer I actually hadn't seen in the pub until we brewed it. I just kept missing it, basically.
Oh, really?
But yeah, so it's a rye, basically like a rye Hefeweizen, so it's got that kind of like spicy.
Yeah, I smell that on the nose immediately.
Yeah. It's kind of like banana bready almost.
It threw me off because the color is, I guess that'd be more the rye, because it is not nearly as light as that Session IPA. You know, like that looks closer to what this smells like.
Yeah,
you know,
it's almost like a Dunkelweizen. Like,
yeah, it's super similar.
Super similar, but it's subtle. I tried making a pumpkin Hefeweizen because I thought that was a great idea. It was terrible. And this is so much better. Thank you.
The pumpkin thing's kind of like it's on the backslide.
Okay, I'm done with it.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Yeah. Can we talk about that for a second?
Yeah. All these stores still have all this pumpkin beer right now.
I can't.
And you can get it super cheap, which, I mean, I lost my job earlier this month, and I was talking about how my beer budget may be next to nothing. I may be drinking pumpkin beer just because I can get, like, a six-pack for probably $3 at this point. But I just don't know if I can do it. I like some pumpkin beer, but in minimal doses. And it just – so many companies came out with their own this year, and it was a – oversaturation of the market.
Oh, yeah.
And all these stores are still stuck with stock, and they already said, you know, we talked to our buddies at Broadway Liquors, and they're like, we're not ordering any next year. Like, none. Because we're still stuck with all this, and a lot of beer stores are probably only going to stick with the tried and true ones that have been, you know, like your Southern Tier and O'Fallon and that kind of be it. Sam Adams probably has one, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah.
I think I just stick with your Oktoberfest, too. Actually.
Yeah.
That's their big for
right.
all
year. So, yeah, you're not a fan of the pumpkin?
It's not even so much that I'm not a fan, but, yeah, it's just oversaturation. There was actually one of the last times I was around when Johnny was brewing a beer. He had a little, like, brewing party, and he had some friends bring over like fall beers, and of course, like everybody brought pumpkin beers. And it was just like, you know, I was just looking in the fridge, just like horrified, like, oh my god, there's nothing but pumpkin beer. It's
like, no Oktoberfest or anything.
Yeah, yeah, but yeah, it's just like, it's when you come across, I feel like the best you can do with a pumpkin beer, the best thing you can say with a pumpkin beer is just like, well, I mean, I'm not totally smacked in the face with pumpkin.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like,
it's a lot of spices and not so much like actual pumpkin. That's,
and you guys haven't ever, have you?
Well, we did a pumpkin Flanders.
Okay.
That's different. That was so, that was so good. And then after that, I was like, I'm done with pumpkin beers. I'm not going to try anyone else's.
Right.
Because nothing's going to top this. But yeah, it was a barrel age, so that was really good. I'm okay with
because that's a little out of left field. Where instead of like, it's just another pumpkin beer.
We do a pumpkin just beer like as every well in that one, but I mean, it's still pretty good. But that pumpkin Flanders was awesome.
Yeah,
but
there's a
it was really good.
There's a the last time we were here, I think we bumped around. I came here. I went to the Blind Pig.
Oh, yeah,
sure.
And they had a pumpkin sour. And
yeah, isn't that like that's a, just like right up the road,
right over there? Yeah, and it's like. It's basically like a Frankenstein brewery. I mean, it's like the coolest little like weird three barrel tons, you know?
Oh yeah.
And they had a pumpkin sour and I was just like, I wish I had that barrel age because I feel like maybe that's a really good way to take the pumpkin is like with the Flanders style or the sour.
Now, are you guys fans of sours?
Oh, I love sours.
Okay. Well, you're in a good place.
Yeah, I know. You guys do spontaneous fermentation, right?
Like, they're kind of known for their sours. I mean, they're distributed in 15 states, so they're not just a local brewery. They are all across the country. They just recently, Oklahoma is now carrying their beer, so they're getting, you know, down south. They've got out west, out east,
that's
up
fantastic.
North. Yeah, it's. I mean, they're kind of all over the place. I don't think they're in Idaho. I don't know. There's a lot of breweries that are in Idaho and Montana, you know. So, but the major markets and stuff there, you should be able to find their stuff.
I was pretty excited when he told me we were going to, you know, do the podcast here at the Brew Pub because I'm reading a book called The Beer Bible.
Oh, yeah.
And you guys are mentioned here in the book a lot.
Awesome.
Especially when it comes to wild and like spontaneous fermentation. So,
distills in the Bible. Pretty, well, there you go.
Yeah, you're in the Bible, man. You're going to be in history for a long time.
Like super in, right?
Yeah.
If they do a new version, maybe Drunken Lullabies could get mentioned. Like, and then distill on the seventh day, sponsored a podcast out of Pekin, Illinois called Drunken Lullabies.
Exactly.
And then shit went downhill from there.
Oh, yeah.
So I think we should probably play another song.
That sounds like a good idea.
If it's okay with you guys.
Yeah.
And this is actually the first song of yours that I ever heard. I don't even necessarily remember how I found it. If I was in a rabbit hole on Spotify to where I just like, I click on a band that I like and then they just recommend other things.
Oh,
like,
cool.
You should check this out. Or if it possibly could have been on one of my Discover Weekly.
Oh,
because they've been getting good with those lately.
I really like that. Yeah.
It's been working. And there's several bands that I've featured on this show that I have found that way, which is fantastic.
That's
cool. So this one is called Scorched Earth Brouhaha. And there is a video for this one as well that I will post on our Facebook page. Is there anything you guys can tell us about the song before we play it? It starts with a cackle. I know that.
Yeah, we decided, I think. So Billy is a huge fan of the band Spoon.
Okay.
Sort of on a whim, he just loves the drum sounds on the records and the sounds that they get. And we sent it to Jimino, who was in the band, the drummer.
Yeah.
And he responded to us, which was just crazy to us, you know, because it's like, this is Spoon,
awesome.
You know?
Yeah.
And he responded to us. And to be honest with you, I wasn't really aware of Spoon as much. But I think the more and more I started listening to him, when we finally got to work with Jim, it was like a big deal. And going to Austin, and he's like the most down-to-earth guy. He loves... So you might not like this, but like his favorite beer is Tecate.
Really?
Yeah. He has a fridge in his studio.
Full of it?
That is a Tecate fridge.
Okay,
wow.
So...
Sorry, Jim.
That's all right.
The first night we worked, that we went down to Austin and started working with him, he was like, it's getting kind of late. Like, you know, like someone will run out and grab some beers. I'd be like, oh, well, what do you want, Jim? He's like, oh, I like Tecate. So I figured, I mean, like, during the summer, like, sometimes it's nice just to have, like, a cheap Mexican beer with, like, some salt
and
lime. Like, it's really refreshing. So, so that's what I did. I got the bottles. I got the lime. I got some salt. And Jim's just like, oh, the look of disappointment on his face. Just like,
I just literally meant Tecate.
I just wanted the can. It's like... Like, I felt like I disappointed my parent or something. Like, yeah. I was just like, I let you down. I was just trying to do something good. I let you down.
Well, on the really, really slim chance Spoon ever sits in on an episode of this, we'll drink one for him.
Thank you. Thank you.
That seems like a really big ask. Like, you're already...
For us, like, yeah. I think it's a bigger ask for Spoon to want to hang out and drink beer with us.
But.
Yeah.
No. Jim's a very affable guy. Like, he'll drink Tecate anywhere.
He would drink it anywhere.
Right.
But no, the song is really just, I think it's about just, isn't it about
divorced parents?
Divorced parents. Billy's parents got divorced, and a lot of crazy stuff happened.
Gotcha.
And,
well, that's a perfect song to drink, too.
Yeah.
So, if you had if you're a product of divorce, this is your new
this is your new dance song. Yeah.
So, yeah, this is the kickback, and here is Scorched Earth Brouhaha on Drunken Lullabies.
Oh, my God, I've been waiting.
That was Scorched Earth Brouhaha. I'm not crying, so that's good. I mean, I'm divorced, but my parents are still together, so I guess my daughter might relate to this song on a deeper level than I can.
Nice.
But yeah, we have another beer, and Whitney is chomping at the bit to tell us about this one, so take it away. I believe this is a special treat that we're getting to drink this, which it kind of, like, our whole last special episode was nothing but special treats, you know, like...
Thank you, Whitney.
Yes, so yeah, what are we enjoying right now?
This is the Saint Dakara Pêche. So our Saint Dakara is our sour series that we barrel age. And so this is the peach, and this is the first time I've ever had this variant before.
See, I thought it was Pêche, and it was like a Home Alone reference.
Depeche mode. We're in Depeche
okay,
mode.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, that'll work too.
But yeah, so we use fresh fruit in our... mm-hmm. So definitely a little tiny bit of sediment in it, but it is so yummy. I really like it a lot. That it's just so deep and oaky and just... not that, like, super in-your-face sour that we normally get with our wild sours.
Yeah, right.
Which, if you want that, we have that, too.
Yeah, do you know a little bit about that process, like, that you guys go through for something like this? Or are you able to discuss? or divulge?
You wish you could have been at the one we did at the brewery.
Oh, cool.
It was a special episode that we released probably about a month ago now. Once this airs, I'm doing that thing where I'm in the future now. We're actually in the past. This is it's confusing, but we drank things straight out of the barrel.
Wow!
Like took the nail and
really?
Like we tasted things in the process of fermentation.
Kind of
like one was almost bottle ready. We had one that had been aging, I think, for 6 months that was still gonna be hanging out for a while, and so yeah, like it was awesome. And then we got to drink some other fantastic beers. It was like we drank eight, I think. It was great.
That is fantastic.
Yeah, that was a fun one.
It's
so
a fun job.
Yeah.
No, I'm
so glad we're sponsored by this.
So glad I have an excuse to start drinking at 3 o'clock.
Well, it's the weekend.
Well, the funny thing is actually, before we booked this show tonight, this house party we're doing.
Yeah, it wasn't even on your Facebook page. You have the cover photo or whatever with your tour itinerary. It's not listed on that.
It's not listed on that.
But it's on your date section or whatever.
For a reason. So. But it's like, apparently yesterday, which I don't know when this airs, but yesterday from the day we're doing this was unofficial, which is a very big... party in Champaign where everybody comes into Champaign, Urbana.
Yeah.
And wakes up at what, like 6-7 in the morning and just starts drinking and partying all
day. She was telling me all about it because I was saying, I don't know where they're going to park. I don't know what they're driving.
Yeah.
Like street parking is a mess right now.
Yeah.
And that is why.
And so we discussed it. I discussed it with Rick who runs this sort of like house scene show thing, which we love just because I feel like people want to go to a party, bring their craft beer or Natty
Bo. Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, and...
You're not going to find it around.
Or Yingling. I guess you can't find it. But we thought it was cool and appropriate. We were trying to figure out a name for this party because, you know, they're like, man, nobody's going to want to go out and drink tonight, you know?
Yeah.
And they all decided that we're going to call it the unofficial after party. As sort of a way to commend what just happened, get up... drink some beer at the still, and then come to the party. So.
Well, at least half of you get to drink some beer at
the
still.
The other half.
Fuck those other guys. You'll be like, oh, you guys missed out.
You guys missed out.
It was awesome. Oh. And you're going to be annoying, because you might... you're not getting drunk by any means with the portions we're drinking, but you might have that slight... like, I've been
nice,
drinking beer. I'm feeling good. And they're going to be like, dude, shut the fuck up.
No, I mean, this is fantastic. So is this, you're saying that this is like still kind of not out yet? This is still kind of...
kind of. So it's just, I just need to wait for this to settle out and be more servable for the public.
Nice.
But I was just like, it's too good to not drink.
Is this one going to get bottled too?
Well, no, it's actually in kegs. It's going to be served here. It's just that it's just not quite ready yet.
Yeah.
I think the carbonation's still a little low.
Because you can find a lot of the Saint Dakaras on the shelves, you know, in the bombers and everything.
Yeah, this is a draft. We actually got these from the Normal Pub. The Normal Pub were our first barrels because that was the first, the Normal Brew Pub was the first distill, essentially.
Oh, okay.
And so he had barrels that were producing so quickly, and so he was just kegging off beer, and he just has a bunch of St. Nicaras. So I'm just like, oh, okay. Well, we can take some over here because our barrels weren't that great, and they weren't producing what we wanted. So I get to raid his St. Nicaras, and I was
That's
like, a peach.
Really
I've never had a peach.
Cool.
Yes. So I just started carving it up this week, and it's almost there, but it just needs a little bit more of the sediment out of it.
Yeah, but I mean, how long has it been in barrels? Is it like
this one was, I think, from 2013, and then it probably sat for about a year at that point. Now they're producing much more quickly because they have the bugs that we like, and they're giving the flavors that we like. Until they don't, and then we give them the X.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it's super cool. Our barrel program is really super awesome.
Do you guys have like a cool ship? Like how do you guys?
Well,
I know. Again, it's like industry secret.
Well, not quite yet. We're getting ready to have a new brewery. We just got approved.
Huge expansion,
and so we're gonna have all of that fun stuff. But as of right now, we just have a big barrel room in our warehouse.
That's cool.
Yes, and we have so many barrels.
Are they bourbon barrels? Are they wine barrels?
Both. Justin wine barrels that we got from it's a Cabernet from California. Mm-hmm. So we have some Justin barrels. We have rye. We have bourbon barrels. Regular oak barrels.
Think about it. So you just dump the beer in there and you just like let it sit for a while and just taste it.
Yeah, some of them that they clean before they put some they don't. They just put it straight in and you get different.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah, there's days where the brewers they just have barrel tasting all day and I'm just like, I'm over there working the can and I'm like, well, that looks like a whole lot of fun. need a fourth opinion. I tell you, it's probably good.
And I told you before we started the show, and our listeners, it's well documented. Sours, it took a while for me to come around to them. Like 2 years of trying. Like I didn't give up. I just kept revisiting, and it's like, nope, still not for me. And now I love them. And honestly, I'm glad I got there because a lot of these great beers we're having from you guys would be wasted on me. I'd be like, yeah, they're really good. Eye roll that you can't hear over the, you know, can't see. So,
have you guys ever tried kombucha at all?
Yes.
I feel like, maybe I'm stupid or wrong, but like I feel like there's something familiar about that. And it's sort of like if you're a kombucha fan, you would really appreciate something like this.
Yeah, I completely agree. That like has, yeast, that like active, spontaneous yeast.
Acidity. And
absolutely. I completely agree. I actually never put that together, but I think that's a really good reference point.
A way to go.
Yeah, that's a super good reference point.
I like reference points. References are good.
I like to whisper too.
Yes, whispering. I'm going to whisper into another song, and that's okay with you guys. We're going to play a song. It's called White Lodge. And it's awesome. And it's going to be much louder than I am right now. So if you're turning up the volume, you're fucked. Because it's going to kick in, and you're going to blow out your eardrums. So you should do yourself a favor and turn the volume down right now. You didn't do it, did you? You wouldn't be able to hear me right now. I'm trying to help you out. I'm warning you. This song's going to blow your eardrums out. Okay, this is the kickback. Well, I lodge. not whispering anymore. Your levels are going to remain at this level, because that's what they're called, levels. So we have another beer. I kind of called an audible, and Whitney was cool with it, and I wasn't sure because I didn't know these guys were sour fans, and that kind of played into it. Like, if they're not, this is not a good audible to call and end the show on this note. But this is a familiar one. If you've listened to all our episodes, you will know this is, like, my favorite sour, and it's still not really available yet for mass like, unless you know where to go, which is Distills, Brew Pubs. Those are the only places you're really going to find it at the moment. What are we drinking, Whitney?
The dry hopped sour.
The dry hop sour, yes.
Ooh.
The thing that was, the beer that was so good I had to drink two of when we did that Distill Spotlight.
It's so tasty.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
So this is from our production brewery. So this beer I had absolutely nothing to do with. But
that's very nice of you to say.
But it's super delicious. I love the thought behind it. I believe it's Argosa base, and then I know we just dry hopped the shit out of it.
Yeah.
But I can't honestly tell you what those hops are.
Yeah.
I'm really not sure.
If you want to know, go back, listen to the Cheez-It Challenge episode. A squared, he'll fill you in on it, because I think it's the first thing we drink on that episode. So you don't even have to listen to the whole thing. I recommend you do, but you can just cheat and listen to the first beer we drink.
It's so
good.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's almost like umami flavors in this thing, man. It's crazy. Right? Am I crazy?
No, you're not crazy. Well, you might be crazy, but not because of that.
You just may be the lunatic we're looking for.
Is it kind of some meaty?
That's a Billy Joel reference.
I'm curious how you, like, I don't know, I feel like a lot of sour beers that I haven't had too many sour beers, so I feel like most of the ones I've had, it's just like, this one, it like stops at a certain point, and like the finish, it just like, it doesn't really have any of that, it hits you all up front, but like, it doesn't linger. And so like, I keep coming back to it, I'm hit with all these flavors, but then like, it just finishes, and I just want more. Like, how did you guys like accomplish that?
I think that happens a lot. I think this is the base of this beer is Argosa. And if you've ever had Argosa.
And that was my favorite.
Yeah, that was.
Argosas are great.
Yeah, it just has that like kind of crispness at the very end. I know we've started doing something a little bit different with our souring. I'm not sure if we did it with this one or not, but I know from now on all the wild sours we produce are on that program, where it kind of takes that like super lingering right in the back of your jaw away.
Yeah,
I think the dry hops really have a lot to do with that as well. Like the salt from the Gosa, if we use salt on that, I'm really not sure, but
it's beautiful beer too, man.
Oh, yeah.
It's like
crystal clear.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's a nice little golden.
It's like apple juice.
Mm-hmm. It really is. It's
like if I left this out, my daughter could grab it, thinking, "Oh, Dad left some apple." Yeah, if she took it, the look on her face would be priceless.
I love bringing sour beer home because I'm from a really small town, so it's really funny when I bring beer home. And seeing the looks on their face, because it's so funny, because everyone just wants to be so supportive because they're so excited for me, because I'm so excited to work with the beer. And then I'm like, "Yeah, sure, if you want to try, but you don't have to try the sours. I just brought something."
Yeah,
like, no,
they're not for everyone.
Like, it's so funny. It's okay. You don't have to like it.
Try the Vertex IPA. Try the Weisenheimer Hefeweizen. That might be a little better.
Yeah. Try the Abbey Single. That's a big hit back home. Yeah. Abbey Single is. And some of my friends still really like the sours, but it's so funny that face that they make, because it's really funny for me because I already know they're not going to like it. And that's fine. That's totally fine.
Yeah,
that face, that was priceless. Like,
bitch, I told you. You didn't listen.
If you're not listening, this is going to be really funny for me. I'm just going to watch now.
So, Whitney, I'll exclude you from this just because I feel you may have a bias, but maybe not. Like, you may feel that it's hard to choose among your kids. What was your pick of the week? What one did you enjoy the most that we just drank, Johnny?
Of all the beers that I drank?
Yes.
Today?
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, if it wasn't the Audible one. And I mean, the Porter for me stood out. And I like sessionable beer. I like sessionable beer that has a lot of flavor. But, and even the first one, which, sorry if I...
Oh, that was the intermission session.
Yeah, the intermission one. I've only had like five. I told you I had a low tolerance. The intermission, to me, it was delicious because, again, it was like a super dry finish. It was like had a nice hoppiness to it. Mm-hmm. Like you said, how many thousands of pounds of hops?
It was like 11 pounds.
Yeah.
11,000 pounds.
Yeah. 11, or something like that. Let's just add thousands. Let's just add zeros.
Just all the hops. Just all the hops. Just all the hops.
But the porter to me was something that I hadn't tasted before in a porter.
So the hoppy porter collabo with Triptych.
With Triptych. All right. That was something
you're just covering all the local bases here.
Yeah, I love all the local collabs. But
Eamon, what was your pick?
I'd have to go with the Belgian Nitro. That was just like a really...
The Ambassador Double Belgian Pale Ale with Nitro.
Yeah, and that was just a really unique experience for me. Like, I mean, but honestly, as is a sour, I don't think I've had a sour that I can... Because I'm still sort of in the process of, like, trying to get into them.
Mm-hmm.
There's some I've enjoyed mildly, some I've not enjoyed, but this one is probably my favorite so far, to be honest. But I'd say overall I'm just surprised with the, like, the balance of, like, taste within the beer, because it's not, like, no one beer, like, hits you in the face with just, like, one flavor, and that's what it's all about. Like, even the sour, like, has a dry finish with, like, no hint of sourness or, like, sweetness. And so, like I said, it just kind of keeps you coming back.
Yeah.
As opposed to being like, okay, that was a really strong beer. Like, I don't need to drink that again. You know?
Yeah.
Like, I could easily have another of this. You know?
Yeah.
So it's really refreshing to see that, because I feel like within the American, like, craft brew landscape, there's, like, a heavy-handedness. Maybe.
Yeah, it's almost like trying to do too much. Like, the extreme beer category where it's, like...
Right.
This is okay.
Yeah.
It's going to dial... They're going to dial down eventually.
Yeah, I mean...
What's your pick?
I called the audible.
Yeah.
So, like, I kind of have to pick that, but I did pick that in a previous episode. So, I'm going to kind of pass that one over because it's understood that I liked it.
Yeah.
I probably get that Ambassador Double. I'm with you. That was pretty solid. So, and... You know, Whitney, that may be your pick because you said that was your idea. So.
Well, that's really tough because I really do like that beer just because it's so different, and it was really cool that I got to kind of help make that call and be like, okay, we should do this, and then we did it. But honestly, probably the same beer, peach.
Yes.
Yeah. You did have the second helping.
Yeah, I've never had it before, and it's so good, and it's really different. And
that's good.
I love peach everything. Yeah. I love peach everything. There's nothing peach that I pretty much deserve.
Millions of peaches.
Yeah.
Peaches for me.
Yep. I've never heard that before.
Yeah. We kind of got into it with Eamon, but Johnny, what was the first craft beer you remember enjoying?
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, you work at the Ganitas, but... I don't know.
I'm gonna get fired when I come home because I call it the Ganitas.
I have to invent my answer.
Oh, okay.
But there's this place in Baltimore called the Brewer's Ark.
Okay.
Which brew, like, they make their own, like, various Belgian style beers, and I guess, like, the first time that I went there, I was completely caught off guard. Like, I didn't realize the alcohol percentage was so high.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had about three beers. I walked out of there, and I was just like, I can't even see straight.
Whoops.
Like, this is a huge mistake. But honestly, like, they were delicious beers. And just, like the kind of beers that you would drink, and, like, you wouldn't even know that, you know, you wouldn't even question that you wanted another one. You know, there was no, like, oh, you know, that taste was, like, too much, or... You know, that one flavor is too much, and I want to, like, change up my palate. It was just like, let's have another of that. Let's have another of that. So, the Brewers Art in Baltimore, highly, like, they don't, I know that they just started, like, getting some beers out and, like, down to D.C., but
okay.
I can't, like, and they have, the restaurant, it's, like, a small restaurant that they have, too. It's, like, really good food as well. So, just, like, making, if you're ever out there, just, like, making an evening of it.
Cool.
Really good Belgian beer, excellent food. And, you know, just watch yourself.
All right, so all you East Coast, Central East Coast listeners in our nation's capital and in that area, check it out. I know I got some friends in Baltimore, so maybe they're already familiar with it. But if not, get familiar.
All right, so can I give you more than one, or does it have to be one?
No, go for it. You can give us more than one.
So... When I first started getting into beer, like in more of a sense of like drinking beer, craft beer, and all that crap. Before I worked at Lagunitas, I remember in the band specifically, we were in New York staying with our manager, and he's from Wisconsin, and he had this, like, you know, 12-pack of this beer called Spotted Cow from Nuclearis. Yes. Oh, yes.
We had a Nuclearis episode last month.
Really? Yes.
I feel like you could donate, like, or you could dedicate a whole podcast.
Oh, yeah.
We drank all their fruit beers.
Oh.
Yeah, and what's funny is the last episode, I had some musicians on. Nuclearis got brought up.
Oh, really?
That one too. Yeah. So, yeah. Everybody knows Nuclearis.
Yeah, Dan, Debbie, like they're amazing. And the fact that they're still in Wisconsin and doing what they're doing. I mean, so I didn't really appreciate it then, I'll be honest with you. In New York, I was just kind of like, you know, it's, you know, some
right.
whatever farmhouse. Then I tried it again on tap when we played a festival in Wisconsin, which I highly recommend if you're ever in Wisconsin for any reason. In August, it's called A Mile of Music.
Okay.
It's like what South By probably was when it was starting out.
Okay. Yeah,
it just like takes
a little smaller.
Yeah, it's smaller.
Not corporate.
Definitely not corporate. Like, and so far it's all like mainly just like regional.
Yeah.
A lot of like heavy touring bands. It's not like you're not going to see like big national acts like coming.
Yeah, that are doing a one-off to get all these people and get the hype. It's the road dogs that
it's
are out
the road
there.
Dogs.
Exactly.
Yeah. Up and comers
and like honestly like
that's what it should be anyways.
The town is extremely welcoming. Like everybody there just seems to love music and it just makes it like a great. Awesome little festival. Like,
cool.
And like, plus you're in the summer in Wisconsin, you've got a cool Nuclearis in your hand.
Oh, there's a lot more breweries in Wisconsin.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
Yeah, you can plan a whole weekend
you
up.
You can plan a whole weekend.
Lakefront.
Oh yeah, no, there's some fantastic breweries.
Yeah.
But it was just like we were at this festival and we were in this like cigar weird lounge. Like it was the weirdest place, like a cocktail lounge. What was it like? It was like a cabaret lounge or something that we played.
I mean, it was definitely like kind of a throwback.
Did Billy not wear a shirt at that show? Did you have to ride all over him?
Yeah. No, I mean, I do remember the stage being so small that, like, you know, it was a bit of an issue at the time. We were just trying to figure out who would stand where.
Yeah.
Like, all fit on the stage.
Yeah.
One of those kind of stages. Yeah.
There was
the
like
drums take up, like, half the space.
And it's really weird, too, because, like...
You're sitting on Ryan's bass drum.
Almost. But the weirdest thing was, like, the stage is immediately positioned. Like the bar is divided kind of in like two sections, and we're in the section that's
the
like
middle.
The skinny little hallway.
Okay.
So you're essentially just playing to a wall,
right?
And all the music's just bouncing back on
you.
It was weird, but like trying that beer there was just when I was just like, oh my god, you know, like I just it made sense. So then I was like, oh my god. So then I started reading more books, and then there's this. Place called Local Option in Chicago.
I'm hoping to make a stop up there in a couple weeks actually.
They do a lot of collaboration and like they do a lot of collab stuff and they do a lot of contract brewing and they make some stuff that just always it's kind of like McKellar. It's like very like cool you know unique. And there's this place that unfortunately closed. Supposedly it's going to open up again. It's called Roxy's. It's like a pizza joint.
Okay.
Not too far from where I live. It's like a little tiny hole in the wall. It feels like you're in a little tiny Brooklyn bar. And they have a ton of Local Option beers. And they had a Hell's Bock that was really good. So it was basically like a Hell's, but like a little bit more, I guess, roastier.
Yeah, a little heavier.
But like way more, like still balanced, still easy to drink. So... And then obviously, like, as stupid as it is to say because I work there, but, like, Lagunitas, I think the first time I had it, I started noticing little sum-sum in every bar.
Yeah, right.
I just, I drank
a name like that's going to grab your eye.
I was like, what is this?
Yeah, I'll take a little sum-sum.
It was marketing. It was also just, like, everything was done. It was executed in such a good way, so.
Yeah.
What I thought was really neat, too, about them is we do a thing called, like, the Beer Circus every year.
Okay.
I don't know if you remember them, but we actually played it last year in the summertime. So they have, like extreme circus acts, like I'm talking
like Jim Rose, like that
like
kind
hooks
of
hooks on people's backs.
Yeah.
And then like there's the crazy kind of more acrobatic circus stuff going on,
fire breathing,
drummers and stuff, and the bands. And then what I thought was really neat was that a lot of the breweries they had there that were as guest breweries were just kind of like small, like really small breweries that were just starting out. And I thought that was really neat because they just support those people that like, because you know where you come from, you know where you're, you know, you start off with like a small batch system or whatever, like 10 barrel or whatever. So anyways, yeah.
Those are now Whitney, how about you?
Oh man.
Don't say, honestly, you don't have to say distill.
It's actually not distill. It's actually not distill. As much as I love distill, it wasn't. Yeah.
That's like four drinks, people.
Bells,
oh,
bells.
That's why I didn't even think about that. Bells, so bells actually Gumball Head from Three Full Eights.
Yeah, Three Full Eights.
That
yeah.
was oh, that was a big one that I and it was funny because I started off with that beer. Most people don't like something that hoppy. And so right away I knew that I was in love with hops because I have a friend who's actually White Oak Brewing.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
He explained it to me that I love Amarillo hops.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. So in the back of my head, I'm like, okay, I like Amarillo hops. and then I tried Prankster, which is a Belgian Golden Strong.
Yeah.
And I loved that one, too. And then, honestly, a little something where I could get it at any bar that I went to.
Yeah.
It was just like, nice. I want a craft beer, and I can get it seriously anywhere, which I definitely couldn't get Gumball Head anywhere.
No, you can't get Gumball Head or Alpha King, Zombie Dust. Yeah, Three Floyds is not down here.
So I would say that a little something was the reinforcement of, like, okay, you super love craft beer. Like, if I have the option to get it anywhere. So definitely those three were just like, all right, I'm hooked. I now know all these different styles.
Yeah.
I'm hooked.
I just think it's pretty neat and that like this is going to be, you know, I don't know if this has been talked about in the podcast before, but like how like these small craft breweries are opening up and it's basically like bands in a sense. Like,
yeah.
They're putting out an art form, you know, this is their record, this is their beers, this is their songs.
And that's kind of why they go
very well
the
together.
The synergy, you know,
it's all very related.
Yeah, it flows really well. And yeah, I want to thank you guys for sitting in on the show.
Yeah, thank you.
You know, unfortunately, Billy and Ryan, you know, are here in spirit.
Yep.
But yeah, Aim and Johnny, thank you for joining us today. Whitney, thank you for your work making these beers.
and for
joining us.
Like
and yeah, this has been another fantastic distill themed episode. And Blake, you're lost, dude.
Congratulations, Blake.
Yeah, yeah. It's all right, man. I hope Side Project was fun because I'm enjoying myself out here in Champagne. So yeah, that'll wrap it up for us here this week on Drunken Lullabies. And until next week, may your music be loud and your beers cold. We'll see you in a week.
This has been a Fakakta Comedy Funhouse production, produced by Dustin Wyckoff, executive produced by Blake Clayton. For more information and content, go to fcfnetwork.com.